Hi, this is Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
So, Terry, we have a guest today, yes?
We do. We have Goldie Barrett from Mike's Doghouse.
Oh, tell us more, please.
Well, Goldie contacted me through Facebook, I think, originally. Wasn't it, Goldie?
Yes, it was.
And was, you know, looking for ways to promote Mike's Doghouse and the things that they're doing down there, and we kind of chatted and thought it'd be kind of a cool interview. They got some amazing stuff happening.
Oh, excellent. Well, yes, let's definitely get this going so we can learn about it.
All right, well, welcome, Goldie.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about Mike's Doghouse and how you and Mike got started in this and how you've been doing it and what your mission is.
Well, 7 years ago, Mike actually had a hot dog cart called Mike's Doghouse. And it's kind of a funny story. All the neighborhood dogs and the stray dogs seemed to love Mike because, obviously, he had the hot dogs, and they started hanging around, and he started bringing them home because they were, you know, just strays. And he said, these dogs can't be running around. They're going to get killed, or they're going to get picked up and euthanized. And before we knew it, we had, like, 7 or 8 dogs on our property that we were taking care of. So one day I said, Mike, you know, I think we need to become a nonprofit and do this, you know, constantly, because we both had such a passion for it and we loved the dogs so much, and we were having success in finding them new homes, and so that's how Mike's Doghouse was born.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, and you're located in Florida, correct?
Yes, we are. We're in actually just outside of St. Augustine in Palatka, Florida. That's our bully rescue. We also have a branch that where we have a lot of non-bullies like golden retrievers and such, and that is in St. Augustine.
Okay.
We love all breeds of dogs. We just have a passion for the bulldogs because they're, you know, the most needy of all, and there are more of them than any other breed of dog in the U.S.
And certainly they're the hardest ones to seem to adopt. There seems to be some unjustified.
Yes, with all the stigma out there, yes, it's very, very difficult. Very difficult. But they're wonderful, wonderful dogs, and I'm going to say, while I've got your attention, to let people know that they need to not judge a book by its cover, just as with people. These dogs are wonderful, wonderful family dogs, and they need to do their homework before they believe what the media says.
And I agree with that. Dee and I are pretty adamant about those types of things as well. We don't type of BSL is not something that we're behind.
It's crazy. We don't understand it, and we're supposed to be the superior species on the planet, and yet our behavior is so barbaric and you know, and hateful, and it, you know, it's still going on. It's shameful.
Yes, it is. So when I talked with Mike originally, there was a story about a dog that was coming to you guys from the Cayman Islands. Can you tell the folks about that?
Yes, and she has arrived in one piece, and she is just a doll. Her name is Sophie. And the story is that we were contacted several weeks ago by a lady who was very, very passionate about getting a dog over here to the United States. The first reason being is that pit bulls are outlawed in the Cayman Islands. We're not sure who the culprit was that brought the first pit bull over there and bred it or anything, but they do seem to have a few of them running around. Well, little Sophie was one dog that was in the pound on death row, and somebody in their group actually went in and stole the dog and got her to safety here at Mike's Doghouse. It was a long and harrowing, well-planned and just amazing little caper that was pulled, and actually, we're proud to be a part of it. She's a wonderful, beautiful little girl, and she just loves everybody, and she just brightens up the whole place.
Awesome. That's
yeah.
I can see the whole Mission Impossible thing playing out as the dog gets... Go ahead, Goldie.
Oh, okay. I wanted to say that we've done it before, and we're proud to say we've done it before. We've rescued dogs and undergrounded them from many different states, including Alabama, and several other states. Dead Dog Beach in Puerto Rico, as a matter of fact. We've had several from there. So we enjoy saving these dogs, and we enjoy getting them out of harm's way.
Now, Goldie, do I understand correctly that the pup from the Caymans is now up for adoption?
She sure is, and you can find her on Pet Finder or on our site, mikesdoghouse.org. And, well, we're not sure if Anthony has posted her yet because our webmaster is very, very busy. And about once a week he posts them up. So I don't think she's up on the site yet, but she is. She's here, and she's just beautiful, and she's all smiles, and she has happy tail. Her tail has just wagged so much that it bleeds on the end.
I heard that referred to once by a vet as wagging tail syndrome.
Yes, we call it happy tail. It's so cute. You know, whenever we see that bleeding tail, we say, wow, what a great dog, you know.
I couldn't be happier. So
exactly.
What are some of the other dogs that you've had that you've placed? I mean, I know you've done quite a volume. How many have you put out there, and can you tell us a couple of their stories?
Well, we don't exactly have a true count because we weren't keeping track in the early days before we got our 501c3. It was more or less a hobby. But I would—we know it's well over 1,000 dogs, and you know that doesn't sound like a terribly big number for a rescue. But we're a very small rescue. And,
Goldie, I got to interrupt
yeah.
you for a second. This is
sure.
Dee. That's a huge number. I am so impressed with that because you are two people, and if you've placed around 1,000 dogs, oh my gosh, that's just absolutely fabulous. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. It is important work we do, and we don't just place them with anyone. We're very particular about who adopts these dogs. We want to make sure that they have a happy forever home and don't have to experience any more trauma because they've already been through so much, you know. And they're just amazing because no matter what they've been through, they just are so loving and trusting, and they're just amazing, amazing animals. If they're not amazing animals, we don't rescue them. We feel that people in good faith are making donations, and we want everybody to know that every single penny that they donate to this rescue goes to the dogs. Even Mike, after 7 years, doesn't get paid. No paid people here. Everything goes to saving the lives of good dogs.
Oh, man. Great job, you guys.
That's
well, thank you. I want to say something that Mike will probably be upset with me for saying, because it's kind of a secret, but I think with the way things are going in the rescue world and everything is so slow and there are so many animals in need, I just wanted to reiterate that we do have a branch that is non-bully, and we have taken Shih Tzus and Akitas, and we've had, of course, we have lots of Golden Retrievers right now. We have taken little lap dogs, and we've rescued pretty much all kinds of the small breeds, like Chihuahuas and a Yorkshire Terrier once. He was adorable. And many, many different types of dogs. Even though we're famous for being a bulldog rescue, we do rescue all kinds of good dogs.
That's phenomenal.
If we are able to, we do it.
That's phenomenal. Well, and actually, that's some of the reason that after Dee and I talked amongst ourselves and I talked to you, it's like, you know, this is too good of a story not to get out there for everybody.
And we're so grateful that you wanted to put it out, Terry. It really means a lot. And hopefully a lot of good will come out of this.
Well, we're hoping. Keep our fingers crossed. We'll get some folks to know that you guys are out there.
Yes, indeed. And if we had more volunteers who could foster or a dog or two, that would be wonderful. At this point, we've never had foster families. But with the need being as great as it is, and our space being as small as it is, we could save more lives if we could get people to step up to the plate and say, look, I will take care of this dog. I will foster this dog. That would mean one more life that would be saved.
Yeah.
And it would mean a great deal to us, and they can call us anytime. All the information is at the website.
Cool. Well, we'll make sure to put that information in the blurb that comes out with the episode as well.
Yes, good. I'm glad of that. Did we tell you about Muggsy?
No.
Muggsy was a dog that lived in California. He's a dog from L.A. And these people called us and just begged us to take him, and we were full at the time. But they made us an offer we couldn't refuse, and the rescue needed the extra income. And Muggsy was an exceptional dog, and so they flew him to us from L.A. And
wow.
He has a wonderful home in Jacksonville with a great family. And as a result of this whole thing happening, because we let the owners who have to surrender their pets that they love so much, we always let them know where the dog goes. So when the dog gets a new family, we call them with the good news. We put them in touch with the new family and vice versa, so that if there are any questions, you know, with a new family, they can talk directly to the old family, and so on. And as a result of all of this, these two families have become fast friends. So we've got we've introduced two families, one from California and one from Florida, who just really just get along like they're related, and they fly back and forth and they see each other all the time. So it's a fabulous story.
Definitely.
And we have more of those stories, but I won't bore you with them.
Oh, that's not boring. That is such a win-win, and I love that you allow that connection.
We wouldn't have it any other way, because I know that when families have to say goodbye to somebody that they love so much, and they surrender them to most rescues, the rescues, you know, they don't let them know, they don't keep in touch, and they never know the fate of their own dog. We can't stand that idea, and that's why we do this for everybody.
That's awesome.
It truly is.
Yeah,
I love the concept. I hope folk listening will consider it if they're running a similar organization. I think that it just completes that circle.
It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
It sure does. It would be nothing worse than not knowing what happened to your dog. I just can't imagine going through that.
Yeah, I couldn't do that either.
No.
It'd be heartbreaking enough, just the event, and never know.
Right, and some very good families have been forced to give them up, and it's just, as it is, it's really not fair, but the worst part would be if they didn't know where their dog ended up.
Right. So, now I understand that you guys are trying to do sort of the next generation of Mike's Doghouse, which is Rescue City USA?
Yes, indeed. We have decided that it's high time that somebody actually built a huge facility. And what we have planned is, of course, the name kind of tells you what it is all about. And that is a 30-acre rescue city for animals. And when I say city, I mean including a hospital, strip malls, a chapel, bereavement counseling, an auditorium to rent out and to use for animal-related things, and you name it. And this would be for horses, which is badly needed for horses in this country, and cats and dogs. No farm animals at this point. The animals that are in the most trouble right now are horses, cats, and dogs. Of course, it's a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
And, yes, it is huge. We have set up the accounts. We have made Rescue City USA a division of Mike's Doghouse, and we started the ball rolling. So at this point, we don't have a lot in the account, but whatever is donated with a notation that they would like to put it towards Rescue City goes straight into the Rescue City USA account for use when it comes time to start building. So we are actually looking at this point for land donations. It would be tremendous if somebody had an old farm homestead or a piece of land, even if it isn't 30 acres. At least it's a beginning, and at least it tells people, look, this is the future home of Rescue City, so it makes it more real to the people. Then we feel we'll get a lot more people coming forward to help us with this.
I think it's a wonderful dream, and I think dreams come true, and I think your heart's in the right place. So I'm thinking this is going to happen.
You know what, Dee? Thanks for saying that, because I've known from the first time we started to do it that it is going to happen.
You guys,
I can feel it. The universe is going to bring this forward, and Lord knows
that
this country.
We say that a lot around here.
You do.
We can't make it ourselves. We can't make it alone. But the universe starts moving you, and everything opens up. And I hope our listeners will take this to heart, and help you in any way they can. What we'd love is to know that someone knows someone knows someone who has the right piece of land for you all. Because as you said, that would just be a great beginning.
Exactly, and if there's anybody listening out there that has been looking for a nonprofit that is really worth while and they want to get involved, we are also looking for good people, real good people, you know, the highest caliber. We want to stay pretty much the way we are as we grow, even if we grow into an organization of thousands. We want to always maintain, you know, our standards and the animals will always come first, not people's salaries or anything else like that. We want to take care of these animals. That is our number one mission.
And integrity with the people that you're involved with is such a huge piece of it. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. And I'm so glad I got to talk with you, Dee.
No.
You've been kind of a mystery lady in the background.
I have a feeling we're going to talk again.
I hope so.
So
and I also wanted to mention, listen, Rescue City USA can be anywhere. It doesn't have to be here in Florida. It's going to be wherever we can build it. This is a, you know, a USA, this is a worldwide type based thing. This is not, this is global. This is global. This isn't local.
Excellent. So, good to know.
That is
yes.
good to know, because there might be other opportunities just in the Midwest more because of the availability
if
of land.
There, yeah, if there are, we'll be packing up tomorrow.
Have dogs, we'll travel.
You betcha.
So go ahead and plug how folks can get in touch with you before we wrap up this interview. So your website, phone numbers, whatever you want to put in there.
Yes, well, it's mikesdoghouse.org. I know everybody out there knows it's www. and our phone number is area code 386-328-7789. I'll even put my personal cell out to you if you have a hard time reaching us. We always do that because there are emergencies, and we always get back to people. And that is 386-336-7070.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you joining us. And tell Mike we said hi. We're sorry he couldn't make it to the interview today.
And Terry and Dee, we are so grateful that you had us on. And God bless you for that.
Well, thank you. Glad you could make it.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk soon then. Bye for now.